With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Ro, host of the Queen Pod. We are on a mission to offer you a companion piece to the entire Queen back catalogue, track by track, and Queen are letting us play all their music. To find out about how to support us and access some Bijou exclusives, pop along to patreon.com/QueenPod. So, without further ado, Queen Loud, I'm your host, Ro. They've been wandering around and still come back to you. Here's comedian Suze Kempner.
Hi.
Hello. Documentarian Simon Upton.
Hello.
And comedian John Robbins. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. We are looking at the UK version, we should say, of Queen Greatest Hits 1, which is being re-released on the 2nd of July, which means it probably is out as you listen to this. We are riding off Bicycle Race into You're My Best Friend, written by John Deacon. It's from the Night at the Opera album, which was released as a single on the 18th of June 1976. And we do talk about this song in some detail in season 2, episode 1 of the main pod, where we talk about A Night at the Opera side A. So if you're digging our vibe, go check that out. You will love it. Simon, do you want to give us a lovely little one of your 1 minute rundowns on the history of this song?
I'll do my very best. I think the significant thing to talk about on this song is not only that it's a hit single, therefore on Greatest Hits, but as you mentioned, that it was written by John Deacon. And up until this point, Freddie and Brian had written the songs that had been released as singles. But by this stage, all four members were contributing to the albums. So it was only a matter of time before one of the others created a hit. But I think it's fair to say it was a surprise that it came from John, because this was only the second song he'd written for the band. And it's actually only the seventh ever single release that the band had done. But a hit it was. I think it's worth pondering the fact that all four members of the band contributed to the writing and ultimately all had hit singles, particularly as John had to be actively encouraged, mainly by Freddie, to do so. So I don't know if it was brilliant foresight at the time, because the main reason bands tended to split up was due to arguments over royalties, because composers tended to get more than the rest. So by all of them writing songs, that would hopefully alleviate that issue. Similarly, if all of the writing is left to one or two members, then all the pressure is on them, and eventually they start to resent the fact they are essentially carrying the others. Like I say, I have no idea if Queen saw that as a potential threat to their longevity and decided from an early stage to not let that happen, or if it was a simple case that all four of them were just talented songwriters and having things that they wanted to say. If that is the case, then John's place in the band is wonderfully echoed in his songwriting. He didn't speak very often, but when he did, it was incredibly effective.
What a wonderful little sum up of the power of this song, Simon. Thank you very much. The single reached number 7 in the UK charts the week beginning the 11th of July 1976. It stayed there for a week. It reached gold status in the UK. and platinum in the US, where it sold over 1 million copies, which is pretty impressive. There's a fun little fact on this. So unusually for a pop song, but kind of characteristic for Queen, there's no section of the song that appears more than twice. Like, it is pretty innovative as it goes right through the whole song. It's pretty impressive. Suze, what's your relationship with You're My Best Friend?
I think it's a really lovely song, and I think John writes so well for Freddie's voice. I feel like John writes as well for Freddie as Freddie writes for Freddie. It's a really gorgeous, simple song with a very pure sentiment. So Freddie keeps his vocal really simple and pure. You can hear in his approach to "I've been with you such a long time," he's just keeps it very straight and clean. There's not loads of vib on it, no riffing, and he sings John's writing really well.
Oh, do you know, I'm so glad you brought up that that writing element that John writes for Freddie so well, so soon, because that allows me to turn to Simon to see what he's got to say, whether you've got anything guaranteed to blow our minds with, please, Simon. Guaranteed to
blow your mind. I actually have, and it's blown my mind as well, because Susie's absolutely spot on, because what I have is a little sequence of Brian and Freddie talking about John's writing, and in particular on this song. And what this is basically going to do is just prove to everyone how on the money Suze is, because Freddie is going to basically echo what she just said. So she's bang on. So have a listen to this.
John was always a dark horse. He always was. You know, he's the guy who doesn't say very much up to a certain point. I mean, he would go nuts sometimes and say a lot. But generally, he was the quiet guy. And he would come in and we'd say, "Have you got anything, John?" He'd go, "Oh, well, I've got this. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's any good, but we could try this." You know, very self-effacing.
He just writes in that one area which he likes, which is almost like a Tamla Motown or the sort of... And I love that, because I love to sing on songs like that. So he's very different. I mean, you could never call his songs heavy.
It was written on a Fender Rhodes. John played it. John played his own keyboards. And John, as far as I know, wrote the song about his lovely lady wife. Further than that, you would have to ask John.
Yeah, so Freddie loved the way that John wrote for him, as Sue said.
There's certain songs where Freddie and John Deacon kind of really matches. You get that. There's a couple of songs on A Kind of Magic where they actually wrote together, but they just mesh so perfectly, those two.
Yeah, and also if you listen to the drums and the bass, they're both picking out the words that Freddie's emphasising, which gives the song such a really nice energy. So Roger does these little fills before the words, and those sort of counterpoint bass notes are chiming with the key words that Freddie is choosing to emphasise. So it feels like a real sort of team effort. And even just listening to the intro, so often with John, when you actually just sort of listen to his parts in your head, there's so much more going on than you ever thought of. Because obviously so much focus is on sort of Brian and Freddie's parts, but the bass is just sort of busy enough to be interesting, but not so much to sort of take any of the spotlight away.
Do you know what? Let's listen to a bit of the track, because I think you're absolutely right about that. I think they are all, four of them, just kicking so much ass on this track. I thought I would play the bit going into the solo and out again, because the solo is amazing. But I actually love tracking what Roger's up to as in the approach to that solo. Let's have a listen to this. Oh, that is a band. That is a band that work brilliantly together. They're a perfect, perfect unit. I love them. And that thing that from the clip that you say where Brian said, I mean, you know, John, I think, didn't really know how to, maybe he knew how to play the piano, I don't know. But from what we understand, he took a Wurlitzer electric piano home, taught himself how to play it, and then wrote this song for his wife. And how many weddings has this song been played at since then? You know what I mean? It's an immense achievement from the bass player, for goodness sake. I absolutely love it. Yeah, Suze, have you got anything more to say about this wonderful song?
Probably just be repeating myself of what I said on when we covered A Night at the Opera.
Right, yes.
But I just think it's not even deceptively simple. It is a simple song, and that is a huge compliment.
I've got a question for you. So there are certain songs, like I think It's a Hard Life, Maybe Friends Will Be Friends. There are certain songs where Freddie, actually, even Don't Stop Me Now, things like that, where Freddie actually seems, you know, Queen is often, I think, dismissed as a, or used to be dismissed as a band that had mainly male fans. But I think that the way that Freddie sings, particularly John's songs, some of his own songs, that they seemed, for me, they always felt, when I was listening to them, that this one feels actually like it's speaking to sort of to women more than it might be to men. And this feels like one of those songs. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's fair, or am I insanely outdated for even
suggesting that? No, I think, like, Queen, the majority of Queen's music is for everybody.
Yeah, of course.
It's not Lick My Love Pump. Sometimes it is, very occasionally.
Yeah, well, let's get down, mate, love. There's always that.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you know, we've all had a whole year and a half, nearly 2 years off having to go and have dinner parties with people. But now, unfortunately, we're now in a position where we might be having dinner parties and surrounded by that awful thing where you're having to... And you can see across the table there's someone that's quite nice. It's probably because they're a Queen fan. But all you've got is greatest hits, so you don't really know what to say to them. What you could say to them to engage you and then save you from the rest of the dinner party is never underestimate Deaky.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. I think that's what a Queen fan would say about this song. How does that work for you? Mm. All right. So you've only got greatest hits. Yeah. You don't even need to work out who Deaky is. Like, you can just leave that as a little crossword clue for yourself. Fantastic. So, as this wonderful song draws to an end, the next song coming up on the UK version of the Greatest Hits album is Don't Stop Me Now, which is an absolute banger. My question to you is, You're My Best Friend is the fourth track on A Night at the Opera, after I'm in Love with a Car. Do you hear when it finishes? Hear 39 in your head about to start, or are you hearing Don't Stop Me Now kicking in, Suze?
Definitely 39.
Fair play. And does that mean that you probably listened to A Night at the Opera more than Greatest Hits?
Probably.
Yeah. That's where
certainly
your heart
in the
is.
Last 15 years. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Simon.
Yeah, I think I'm in the 39 camp as well on this one. Yeah, it does. It actually blends very nicely into 39, doesn't it?
Mm.
They complement each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that whole album blends so beautifully.
Yeah, whoever came up with the track listing for A Night at the Opera, fair play. It works really well.
Yeah.
They made some good choices.
If you've got greatest hits but haven't listened to Night at the Opera, you may as well at this point listen to Night at the Opera. It will not harm you. John, what are you hearing?
I'm afraid I hear Don't Stop Me Now.
Really?
Yeah. I loved this song when I was first into Queen with Greatest Hits 1 and 2. So I just do have tonight. I'm going to have myself a real good time. That's in my head. But I have to say that now you've made clear that we're talking about the UK version, because Greatest Hits is such a big deal in the UK, I actually find it quite disturbing that there are other versions out there. It's a bit like sort of finding out that the rest of the world has a different ending to It's a Wonderful Life or Star Wars or something.
Yeah. I had one of I ended up in a little direct messaging thing with one of the listeners in New York going, but you've got all the songs in all the wrong order. And I'm like, no, you're listening to the US version. I went, what? There's a completely different version. My mind is blown. And they, you know, I think we don't know around the world that there are different, you know, they did make these albums bespoke to each territory, which I think is phenomenal.
And it is worth pointing out again that this is the best-selling album in the history of music in the UK, which is why the sort of the track listing is so ingrained, not just in Queen fans' minds, but in many people's minds.
Yeah.
And having said that, I also hear 39 coming after. But it's so cool that none of it, we haven't had a unanimous thing on that at all, which is really, really cool. So next up is Don't Stop Me Now, which is fantastic. Please join us for that next week. And in the meantime, you can email us queenpod@thequeenpodcast.com. We love to hear from you. We will respond to you. You can comment at The Queen Pod on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Go along to patreon.com/queenpod to find out how to get the pods ad-free. And there is actually a lovely community building up in this lovely little listener-run Queen Pod fans Facebook group thing. Jump in there. It's lovely and fun there. In the meantime, play Queen loud. See you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Having a good time. Having a good time.
A shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger.
And a